16 in your Bibles this morning, the book of Proverbs and chapter number 16. Good to be back with you today. I was in Texas, and man, it's good to be back from Texas. I have to admit that. And I always give the Texans a hard time. Amen. But, a preacher told me one time, he was a Texas preacher, and he said, us Texans have a new game reserve. He says, we put a fence around Oklahoma. I said, you can't treat us Okies like that. Amen. We're just Okies, but hey, we got a little bit to us. No, amen. I mean, after all, we beat you in football 2 weeks ago. Amen. By the way, Brother Smith texted me yesterday after OU lost the game. And he said, did OU play football today? I said, no, not today, but they did last week. That was the Texas game, amen. So he texted back, he said, good answer. all right, Proverbs chapter 16. Well, we've covered part of this, but we're going to begin at verse number 16 today of Proverbs 16 and go through the rest of the passage of Scripture. Just looking at things of wisdom in our life and how we can have greater wisdom that honors the Lord and benefits us. You know, wisdom has a double purpose. It's to honor the Lord, first of all, primarily, but it's also to put these principles in and make our life blessed. Amen? And they accomplish a dual purpose when we put them into our lives. So let's begin verse 16 here. Notice the Bible says, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for your word and for your wisdom, Lord, that you've placed in your word. We just pray that, Lord, you'd help us this morning to open our hearts to the truths of wisdom and to teach us thy word this morning, that we may have that wisdom, and not just for our own selves or our own purposes, but to glorify you and to honor you in the everyday affairs of our life. And we know, dear Lord, that, of course, Sunday is the day to honor, worship you, and we thank you for that. But Lord, as we honor and worship you in all the practical decisions made in our life from Monday through Saturday, Lord, we know that you get glory and honor out of those also. And so we just pray that you will teach us thy word this morning. Encourage that one Christian here today who may just be a little discouraged or a little down or circumstances overwhelming them. I just pray, God, today thy word would be the overwhelming force in our life to meet every need, we pray. We'll thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we find some great truths located in this passage of Scripture, and not every verse is easy to be understood. And as I was reading and as I was studying it this week, you come to verses that you think, what is that talking about? And so with the Lord's help today, we're going to try to rightly divide this. Well, I've entitled the subject today, Wisdom is Better. Wisdom is Better. The passage compares some things to wisdom, and it highlights how important wisdom is, better than other choices that we can make, and how if we desire that wisdom, and by the way, the wisdom comes from God, doesn't it? And Solomon found that out. Solomon found out he could go to God and ask for wisdom, and God would give it to him. And you know, we can do the same thing. We can go to God, and God's provided much wisdom in his word. And you know, there are times in my life when I've made decisions that, you know, this old brain thought would be the best way to go. But knowing a principle in the Bible that went against my thinking, if I yielded to that, then I would find the situation would become better. And so this is what the Lord's teaching us. He's teaching us some better things that we can understand through wisdom. So let's look at a few of them today. We'll break it down as we teach this passage. And let's begin with verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Now, there's probably not a commodity in all the world that's more valuable to us on this earth than gold. Gold is even better than money. Because, yeah, but when money goes down, gold goes up. And when money goes up, gold stays. It doesn't change. I don't have any gold. This is the gold, only gold I own right there. That's it. And it's been stuck on that finger for 25 years. I cannot get that off. I have to cut that off if I want it off. And my wife doesn't want me to take it off. And I have no reason to take it off, right? That's it. That's all I own for gold. But that ring is doubled in value since the day I bought it. Now, here God makes a comparison of better. He's saying wisdom is better than gold. In other words, spiritual wisdom is better than any kind of intrinsic value that we find. Don't we see a world today where everybody is seeking for some kind of intrinsic value? I mean, it's human nature. We want the value of our properties to go up. We want the value of our investments to increase. And there's nothing wrong with that. But God is saying, how often do we really value wisdom like that? And I think he's trying to teach us that we ought to understand how important it is to elevate the need or the desire for wisdom in our life by comparing it to gold. If I gave you a genuine gold coin, you'd be like, wow, that's wonderful. But the truth is that if God gives us real wisdom from his word, we have something that's so much more valuable. Amen. And I say that because you remember Solomon? God came to him and asked him, whatever would you like in this world, I will give it to you. And Solomon did not ask for wealth. He asked for wisdom, didn't he? And in asking for wisdom, he was saying this, Lord, I value your wisdom more than anything else. And what happened when he had wisdom? God gave him everything else. So really, wisdom is the door to the great blessings of our life. And so much, but I think it's also talking about our mindset. Do we have a spiritual mindset? Or do we have a material mindset? A material mindset does not necessarily mean is not sustainable. Right? But a spiritual mindset of wisdom causes us to be sustained through life, and it causes God also to bless our life and meet our needs. And God does that. We find that truth in Scripture. God give and it shall be given. Principles that God always returns to his people, the good. God always does that. And so these are found through the wisdom of God's principles. Okay, so wisdom is better than gold. All right, number two. Notice verse 18 and 19. Humility. He talks about humility. Humility is better than pride. Now notice verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now I looked up the word haughty, and it just simply means arrogance. He's arrogant. How many have ever seen an arrogant person? There are arrogant people all over this world. And he says, all right, an arrogant spirit goes right before a fall. So verse 19, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoils with the proud. Now, let's understand a little bit about humility. Humility is not lack of confidence. Humility is not lack of confidence. Humility is realizing that we don't always make the right decisions, but that God in his wisdom does. It is resorting, humility is resorting rather to God's wisdom than my own. It means, like Paul said, he must increase, I must decrease. I'm human. He's God. And because of that, I take a more humble position and allow God in our life. You know, I think that's one of the sad parts about our world today is when so many people reject God, they become arrogant in their way. You know, I compare this to evolutionists. You know, evolutionists today will tell you, oh, this is a fact. This is a fact. And then a year or two later, they'll change their mentality as they think they've learned something else. I'm glad God is not changing. And you know, if you follow the ideology of this world, you'll see arrogance involved in it. You'll see a proud spirit. We know the truth. But really, do they really know the truth? Do they really have it? Humility is saying, God, you know it all. My life is blessed when it's under your control, when it's under your guidance, when it's under your protection. And that keeps us from developing this proud know-it-all mentality that I know what's best. You ever heard somebody say that? I know what's best for me. You know, really, the truth is we don't always know what's best for us. But God does. You know why God knows what's best is because he's the one that made us. He made us. And he made us perfect, but we messed it up through sin. We're taught in the book of Romans chapter 5 that sinful nature is in all of us. We got that nature from Adam. And that nature needs the redemption of God, the saving grace of God. And so he's saying here, humility. Choose humility. Humility is always a better thing. Always let someone go ahead of you. Now, not necessarily in the food line, though, right? We are Baptists, so we got to maintain a little bit of understanding here, right? You know, I don't think this means you become a human rug where people walk on you. It's not saying that. But it is saying that we've got to acknowledge God in every part of our life, greater than our own human wisdom or our own human understanding of things, because God is greater than we are. All right, let's move on. Verse number 20. And again, I apologize, I can't get to everyone. I just don't want to duplicate a lot of what we've been going through here, so we're going to look at some of these others. All right, verse number 20. Notice verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Now I wrote this down. Wise thinking on matters is better than impulsive decisions. Impulsive decisions. Do you know, the stores know that human nature is impulsive? Did you know that? So they put all this stuff out that you go to. The stuff you need, like milk, you got to go all the way to the back of the store. But as you walk back, you see all this other stuff you don't need. Right? It's a conspiracy, folks. Right? Okay? That's right. They're trying to attract your eye to something, an impulsive buy. And they make millions of dollars off of those impulsive buys. Now, I'm not saying every impulsive buy is wrong, okay? Sometimes I just got to have some Cheetos or Doritos. You know what I mean? I mean, okay, we're human, all right? But when it comes to spiritual matters and dealings in our life, it's so important for us to just stop and think wisely about all these matters than to just rush and make a quick decision. Now notice what it's teaching us here. It says in verse 20 that he finds good in that. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. He trusts in God for these matters to be accomplished. He's willing to be patient for God to work in a situation. And notice the next verse teaches he gets a good name because of this. The wise in heart, verse 21, shall be called prudent. He gets a name. He gets a name. And he has a peaceable way of teaching. Notice he says, and verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So now he's saying, okay, if you handle a matter wisely, simply use good words in how you handle those matters. Sweet words, he calls them. Now, it's not advocating, you know, buttering somebody up or that type of thing. Yeah, it's not advertising that. What it's saying is that there is a way to handle matters. For example, there's another passage in Proverbs that says, it talks about how we speak. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And you see, the idea is to not be walked on like a rug, but the idea is to take a situation, handle it wisely by how we speak in the situation. In other words, how many times do situations arise in our life that create anger in us? There's some things. I'm driving down I-35 and somebody cuts you off. I mean, it's amazing how just quick, just like that, I can be like, I've lost my Christianity. And it's really bad when you're driving the church van. Amen? That's really bad. You know? But doesn't that sometimes happen to us? I mean, boom! These things just hit us. You know? And so what God's teaching us is that we have to catch ourselves when we do that, right? We have to keep our spirit under control. Because when that spirit gets out of control, oh boy, it then hurts us. But when a Christian handles a matter wisely and handles it in a good way, it can glorify the Lord and it can cause a Christian's testimony to come across well for the Lord. And so our words are important. Words matter, don't they? What we say, how we say things. And again, God is not teaching that a Christian walk, you know. I think of this matter of Israel right now. You know, some out there teach, oh, Israel shouldn't do anything about this. They should just sit back and take it. The problem is that evil will continue to purvey again and again if it's not done. So these principles are not talking about like wartime or allowing evil to continue. It's talking about relationships, how we deal with each other, and how we respond in those relationships, because they can either make a relationship better or they can divide it, cause it to be separated. And so wisdom is the choice. Wisdom is the thing that we ought to go for in these relationships. All right, number four, let's look at verse 25. Verse 25. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, we know there's lots of people have different ways of thinking about salvation, right? We took 2 weeks ago and I asked you how many different ways. Probably got 15 or 20 different answers. People have different ideas about it, but what is the true answer? And the true answer is found in Scripture, right? Scripture is the right answer. The rest is opinion. And opinion can't get you to heaven, right? Opinion can't get you. We have to have a source of right and wrong. There has to be a stabilizing force of what is right and wrong. And God gave it to us when he gave us his word. And so here he's saying here, man's thinking, there's a way which seemeth right. It seemed the right way to do it. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And this is why human reasoning cannot always be trusted. Because it's faulty. We're human. And that doesn't mean we always make the wrong decisions because we're human. But it means that we can tend to make decisions based on how our flesh feels. Or how our flesh wants to, you know, handle a certain thing. We can make decisions like that. But what happens? The results are not good. A person thinks, well, if I live a good life, I'm a good person. I'll get to heaven. You know, I don't hurt anybody. I don't cause trouble in society. I'm a taxpaying citizen. I'm a good person. I'm moral. And so sometimes a person can think, I'll get to heaven that way. There's only one problem. We've all sinned. We all sin, and that sin is on that account. When we get to heaven, God can't let us in because he can't let sin into heaven. And so we oftentimes think that, you know, this idea that we've got it all together. Nobody's got it all together. There's an understanding of this that we need to understand. So God's principles are better than man's thinking. All right, let's move on. Number five. Verse 26. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. I've noticed this simply. Labor is better than doing without. Right? Now that's an obvious principle, right? That's an obvious principle. But, you know, we live in a different society today, monetarily, than was in the Bible. Today, in America, there's a welfare system that will catch you. But in Bible days, there was nothing. If you were without, you just went without. And so the answer here that God is teaching us is labor. You know, work is a good thing. It's not a dirty four-letter word. It's a good thing. Because it says, he that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. And, you know, labor began really in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God cast them out. Before then, work and labor was okay. It was fine. They didn't mind. But after that, they tilled by the sweat of their brow. Work became laborious, so to speak, after the fall of man in Genesis. And ever since then, it's hard for humanity to want to work, right? You say, we'd all rather just sit and do nothing, right? Unless you're like, hey, I want to do something with my time, my life. But what he's teaching us is that there's good in labor. It's good in labor. All right, let's move on. Number six, verse 27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about peaceful relationships. Trying to have peaceful relationships are better than strife. It's so much better than strife. And he uses this phrase here of digging, like somebody would dig up something purposely to find a way or something to use against somebody. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, I know people face these things. Somebody at the workplace digs up some false accusation because they don't like somebody. You know, these things happen to normal people. And so Scripture's teaching us not to be that man, not to be that person who does that, because the word for that person is described as ungodly. And it reminds us of the grace of God. You know, God does not come to us and always remind us how imperfect we are, but God does go to us when we're lost, and he says, come unto me, and all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It's a picture that God gives us peace and forgiveness in the Lord, and that spirit ought to be given to other people too, you know. And so he's saying, don't be that kind of person that's always pulling up strife or sowing strife. Live peaceably. Amen? Live peaceably. Now, sometimes we have difficulty in life, right? There's that neighbor There's that neighbor. I had a neighbor years ago. We didn't have fences between the yards, but the neighbor would purposely send the dog over to our yard to do their business. Now, I'm a Christian and a pastor, right? Ooh, but the girls would be out playing and they'd get that stuff on their shoes and bring it in the house, and mom would be unhappy. How do you handle stuff like that in life? Well, you know, we need wisdom. We need prayer. We need God's ways. And, you know, God gave me a way to handle it. I had to build a trench. I had to build a trench, a water French drain, because we got a lot of water where we were. And I had to dig a trench. And the trench would go dividing my property from the other guy's property. And I put a hose in there. Well, I left it there for about 2 months and just left the drain hose in there. So the dog would get in the pattern, and I watched him. He'd come up to the trench and he'd turn back around. And little by little, he got in the habit of coming to the trench, and he turned back around, so that after 2 months, he was in the habit, and I could fill in the hole and fill in the trench, and the dog wouldn't come back anymore. I said, thank you, Lord, for the trench. Amen. But, you know, I could have gone over to the man and said, hey, your rotten dog is coming over into my yard and making a mess. I could have handled it in an angry way. But, you know, I think wisdom is saying, Lord, help me to do this in the right way that makes you look good and that my testimony can stay intact. Because, you know, the truth is, I wanted to reach that neighbor for the Lord. I wanted to know the Lord. I wanted to see the Lord in me. And so wisdom is handling these crazy situations that come up in life with an understanding that God wants us to glorify Him and magnify Him. Okay, all right, let's go on. Number 7. I'm going to go to number 8 for the sake of time. All right, number 8 is found in verse 32. It says here, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, I wrote this down. It's better to rule your spirit than to let your spirit rule you. Notice that's what he's saying. It's better to rule your spirit. He that's slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, he's teaching us that there should be some control over our spirit. And that we should control it. Well, what are some of the controllers of our spirit? Well, we have the Word of God, don't we? The Word of God teaches us how to control our spirit. We have the Holy Spirit of God. Does the Holy Spirit ever speak to you and say, don't act that way? Don't say that. The Holy Spirit is given to us by God as a spirit controller. All right? Now, we live in a day and age where people teach, or it's allowed, just act how you want. Allow your spirit to control you. Well, the problem is with that is that God sees that as being weaker than a person who can control that spirit. You see what it says? He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So there is strength, real strength, in self-control, controlling us. Now, we could say, I can do what I want. I can act how I want. Okay, we can do that. But will that response glorify God? Will it also cause us for others to see Christ in us? Probably not. So there's something greater in ruling our spirit. There's a consequence that's greater than ruling our spirit. People tell me, I'll give you an example. Dear lady, I knew in Texas, Catherine Silvertooth was going through cancer, battling cancer. And I could tell she was struggling. And she was in the hospital, and she had just such a sweet spirit. And I remember the nurses would come in, and they'd say, are you okay? Do you need anything? Oh, I didn't want to press the button and bother you to get me some water, but I really need some water. And the nurse said, you press that button anytime you need it. She's like, well, I didn't want to bother you. You know, here's what that did. That made those nurses think so much highly of her. Those nurses were telling me, what an amazing woman she is. What an amazing person she is. And, you know, if it were me, I'd be pressing that button every 5 minutes, right? You know? But she had a control, even though she was suffering in cancer, which was amazing to me. But that control, that spirit that was under control in the Lord. Now, you know, evil people become developed by a lack of that control in the spirit, where we just allow ourselves to do anything. And, you know, God's teaching us, Don't be that man. Don't be that woman. Follow God. Use wisdom as we handle the situations in life. All right, let's go to one more. Last one, verse 33. Verse 33, notice. Now this one I had a little trouble understanding until I dug into it. And I think I understand it. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, the lot here is something that causes, something I think the understanding is some uncontrollable circumstances lands in your lap. The lot fell on you. You didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, and you didn't want it. Anything like that happened to you. It plopped into your lap, and you got to deal with it. Now, what do we normally do when a negative circumstance plops in our lap that we didn't desire or we could not control? We get mad. Or we'll go to God and we'll say, God, I don't deserve this. What did I do to deserve this? And it seems oftentimes that God doesn't answer. You know, I think sometimes God doesn't answer because he's trying. If he answered it right away, then we wouldn't get the principle in us. We wouldn't get the understanding inside of us. And so God leaves us searching sometimes to come up with a good understanding. And he's put his word in here. And so what he's saying here is the lot's cast into the lap. It got plopped into your lap. You didn't want it. But notice the rest of it. It says, but the whole dispersing thereof is of the Lord. In other words, he's saying, God will take that out of your lap in his way and in his time. So I think there's a wisdom in how we handle circumstances that are beyond our control. Or a problem arises that we didn't cause, but there it is. It's in our life. What do we do? Well, I think there's a wisdom in understanding here that if we couldn't control it in our life to get it, that it arrived in our lap, that if we trust God, he will take care of it in his time and in his way. We cannot allow our spirit to get bad because something got in our lap that we didn't ask for. Because that can happen, can it? Why me, God? What does that do? That affects our spirit, doesn't it? And it can cause a lot of people to turn against God when really God has a purpose for everything he does. And we don't understand that. I mean, we're not God. We don't understand all of God's purposes. But we ought to have this spirit. And I think what he's teaching us is that if God puts some negative circumstance in your life, that it's there for a purpose. It's there for a reason. And often it could be a test. Because the Lord does test us. And our testings are to make us stronger. You know, you send steel into the fire to make it stronger. The fire makes us stronger. And we don't like that, but it does have a way of making us better. And so sometimes God puts something uncontrollable in our lap. And if we understand that God wants us to say, Lord, you put it here for a reason. I'm going to love you. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to keep a smile on my face until you decide to take it out of my lap. And here's what it'll do for other people. Other people will see that in your life, and they'll see how you handle that. And they will say, I want to be able to handle things like them. And I want to be able to handle that like the Lord would want me to. And what it does is it will elevate your, it'll elevate you in the eyes of other people. That they could see God in us in those decisions. Because certainly humanity doesn't do that. Humanity cries out to God, why me? But if we'll say, Lord, I'm going to trust you through this problem. I'm going to trust you through this thing. And I know you'll get me through it. One day, God will take care of it. It's like a preacher told me one time. He said, you know, my favorite verse in the Bible is, and it came to pass. It came and it passed. And you know what? I think when we get to heaven, we're going to look back at these kind of things in our life that are there. And we're going to look back and see that there was a purpose on this earth for those things that God gave us. And all we have to do is walk with God through it all and trust him. Because he'll get us through them. Amen? He will. All right. Well, we're going to stop there today. We will pick up on chapter 17, Proverbs 17 next week. And trust these are nuggets of gold for you, just some blessings that God's given us in his word. Let's pray.